covered on these airways. So stay tuned for the best in leading-edge progressive ideas and analysis. And remember to support independent media financially.
Coming up next is Ecologic at 6 a.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
You want to taste freedom, peace in this life? I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, telling where we gonna plant our seeds, it makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna cry. For Mother Earth, makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna cry.
Did they ever hear of solar power? Ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave? We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Good morning. Glad you can join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Not quite with my radio voice today. And this is Ecologic at 6 a.m. for February 18th, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today, we're talking about the devastating freight train derailment in East Palatine, Ohio. What you're hearing now is pre-recorded, but we'll go live at about 6:20, and we'll be taking your calls for Paula Ragovan of the Coalition to Ban Unsafe Oil Train.
John Samuelson, the international president of the Transport Workers Union, which represents 150,000 workers in the rail, airline, transit, utility, and service sectors, said this in Bob Henley's article in www.work-bites.com. The workers know the truth as to what happened in that derailment, and employers are the voice of the cover-up, and the employer's instincts is to blame workers for these types of derailments. They will never blame disinvestment and state of good repair of both the rolling stock and the track. The employers will never acknowledge that they have cut staff on the rails to bare bones. So without the voice of the workers in their unions, there's never going to be balanced, truthful reporting on what happened on any given derailment or any given tragedy across freight rail, and that includes collisions. In 2016, with the subway derailment in Brooklyn at the 7th Avenue station, it was the involvement of TWU Local 100 that drove that narrative and resulted in the advancement of the good repair agenda. Absent the voice of the unions, these companies are just going to do business the way they want.
Sarah Nelson, president of CWA's Association of Flight Attendants, said, A true commitment to safety includes embracing non-punitive reporting systems for everyone working in the operation. The opportunity to identify and catch safety loopholes before they become tragic is paramount for workplace safety and public safety.
One reason for union workers not speaking out is the need to maintain their standing before the National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB. From the AFL-CIO's Greg Regan, the minute you start talking to the press, you lose your standing.
Bill Wolf of Wolf Notes added this comment in response to Bob Henley's Work Bites article. These derailments and deadly catastrophic releases of toxic chemicals expose the absurd contradictions and loopholes in federal and state regulation. When the toxic contents of a rail car are stored at a facility, they are subject to federal Clean Air Act risk management and SARA RTK regulations. And in New Jersey, the state DEP Toxic Catastrophe Prevention Act and lower threshold RTK. But on the railroad, they're not regulated. The railroads must be subject to the same regulations industrial facilities are regarding chemical hazards, as well as accidents and infrastructure conditions.
Oh, boy, they sure should. Let's take our first musical break. Here's a song by the Clearwater Walkabout Chorus, beautifully pointing out the power of music. It's called They Had a Song.
'29, union miners walk the line, living lives as bleak and black as the coal dust in their lungs. Up steps a miner's wife, boys, it's time to join the fight. Which side are you on? Was the song that was sung. '63, black folks marching to be free, beaten up and thrown into a Ku Klux Southern jail. Freedom singers gave them voice, said for us there is no choice, we shall overcome, we cannot fail. '65, Father Hudson's gentle tide, strangled in the poisoned grip of corporation greed. Seeger dreamed of days gone by, we can't let this river die. With a banjo and a sloop, he sowed the seed. Song's nearly done here in Century 21. Doesn't mean we put away our banjos and guitars. Many struggles there will be. We'll be needing harmony. Stand up, one and all, and raise your voices to the stars.
We have a song to make our spirits rise. We have a song.
That was They Had a Song by the Walkabout Clearwater Chorus.
The Walkabout Chorus Cafe is the venue for concerts monthly in White Plains, New York. We got a tip from Marilyn Ellie, one of the leaders of the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition, about a new design by Natal Energy for turbine blades and dams. The propeller-like blades protect fish and do not decrease the efficiency of the turbines. In a hydroelectric power plant, water is channeled through turbines to spin the blades to power generators. The sharper these blades are, the more efficiently they can cut through the current to generate power. An article in the website reasonstobecheerful.world reports on tests conducted by the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory of the company's new turbine design.
Abe Schneider, chief technical officer and co-founder of hydropower developer Natal, says the typical way to design turbine blades is to have a leading edge that is as sharp as possible, which is intuitively not going to be very kind to fish. With their elongated bodies, eels are especially vulnerable. Natal has designed a restoration hydro turbine system to allow fish safer passage through the turbine itself with blunted leading edges on the blades, which are curved and slanted to minimize danger without compromising efficiency. The turbines minimize the gaps between the blades and the turbine walls in order to reduce the chance that a fish gets trapped between moving and stationary parts. I hope the news is as good as Natal says it is.
American eels are particularly vulnerable. They live out most of their lives in freshwater rivers and estuaries from New Mexico to South Dakota, from Florida to Maine. When it comes time to reproduce, they venture far out to the Sargasso Sea in the Atlantic Ocean south of Bermuda, or so we think, based on evidence, not direct viewing. When the eels are hatched and ready, they return to the continental U.S., guided by a genetic GPS, back to the inland waterways from whence their parents came. In the process, they need to navigate some of the 900 dams in the region, causing devastating injuries and deaths.
We read through a paper published in the journal Transactions of the American Fisheries Society, which confirms the benefits of the design. In tests conducted by the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory, 131 eels went through the turbines, and though some were bruised, dazed, or lethargic afterward, only one had a vertebral fracture, none died, and none of the lethargy or bruising were visible at 48 hours after they passed through the turbine. More species need to be tested, but if fish can swim through the turbines, they have the full run of rivers, which is a net benefit, and dam builders need not build spillways or fish ladders, which, although helpful to a degree, still fracture the local ecosystems.
This needs more evaluation. But it does seem that some of the problems that dams create are indeed addressed by this novel solution, which we hope is just a first step in improving existing dams. Some problems continue, of course. Even with bypasses, dams prevent water temperature equalization, trap sediment, disrupt spawning grounds, and reduce oxygen concentration in river waters, among other impacts. Thus, building new dams remains problematical, with loss of land, loss of wildlife habitat, and methane release from newly drowned vegetation still being important issues, but retrofitting existing dams could help prevent many fish from dying.
Ray Corona was a fantastic singer-songwriter who died much too young. We could certainly use his talent today. He was also a donor to WBAI via Ecologic. A memorial concert for Ray will be at the People's Voice Cafe on April 15th. Ray wrote one of the few environmental justice songs we know of, Incinerator. Here's the Ray Corona Band.
You know, in the city of North, there's a section called Arenbaum. Restaurants, stores, and houses getting treated like a dumping ground. All alone on some urban street, people really get nervous at night. It's not buggers who scare you here, there's a monster loose in broad daylight. The parks and the river, every corner cafe. This city's our home, we're here to stay. A cleanup's underway, we're here to stay. Big incinerator spewing stench, it's environmental robbery. Burns thousands of tons a day, pays the owners like the lottery. Now the fumes and the chemicals come crashing through the gates. Lots of people getting sick. Worst polluter in the Garden State.
The parks and the river, every corner cafe. This city's our home. We're here to stay.
Here. Lots of people are short on cash. They're sprayed, betrayed, and written off. Left to burn, burn down like trash. Now the spoilers plan to double the load. Use the river to barge more in. But this community's shutting them down. We're gonna fight, we're gonna win.
And the river, every corner cafe. This city's our home. We're here to stay. A cleanup's underway. We're here to stay. Stay. A cleanup's underway. We're here to stay.
That was Incinerator by the Ray Corona Band. There will be a memorial concert for Ray on April 15th. We'll have more details as we get closer to the date.
You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
Before we get to Paula Rogovin of the Coalition to Ban Unsafe Oil Trains and take your phone calls, a very important thing we and all producers need to do on each show is appeal to you to help keep this radio station on the air. WBAI continues only because of listeners like you, and we have to ask for your help, or how will you know that we need it? Ecologic brings you actions you can take. Letters, emails, petitions, rallies, marches, direct actions. It's all important. Action also includes funding our time with you. Please donate to WBAI and say that you are donating in the name of Ecologic. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI buddy.
There has been a lot of coverage of the wreck in East Palatine, Ohio. But it took days to find out what hazardous materials were in the derailed cars. Norfolk Southern Railway continues to avoid sharing information, and the best coverage is on independent media. We're part of that, and we can continue if you do your part by contributing to WBAI. Ecologic serves you and the community with these and many environmental stories about the issues that affect our health and well-being. We can't do it without you. We're about exposing the bad guys and celebrating the good ones. Support us. Call 212-209-2950.
I know we talk a lot about fundraising. We need to. We need you to keep going. This is listener-supported radio. Please show us you care about our show and about WBAI by giving a donation, getting one of our premiums, or even better, becoming a monthly supporter as a BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic. We appreciate you. Please help us to keep WBAI on the air. Call and contribute now. The donation number is 212-209-2950.
Please consider taking the next few moments to pick up the phone and make that call, or go online and make that donation. Contributing now shows that Ecologic is important to you, that you care about protecting our air and our water. It's a win-win for you and Ecologic. The number to call is 212-209-2950.
What we call the environment is not some abstract thing. It's the air we breathe, the water we drink. We rarely think of how far some animals travel. Atlantic eels go from the United States coastal waters to the Sargasso Sea, and the next generation returns to their parents' homeland without ever having been there.
Wow.
That makes simply crossing a road seem tame. Yet as we discussed in our story on wildlife crossings on December 17th, even short trips can be deadly when habitat is fractured. Check it out on the archives.
WBI has been involved in every political and social struggle, including the climate crisis. We really hope that you will step up to help keep WBAI and the Pacifica Network broadcasting. You are hearing us now because listeners like you pitched in to help. You listen to Ecologic, so be a part of it. Join us as a voting member of WBAI for just $25, as a BAI buddy for $10 or more a month, or just make a donation today to let us know that you are listening, that you care about Ecologic and WBAI. Support your show. Call 212-209-2950. We thank you for everything you have done for our WBAI in the past and look for your continued support so we can keep thanking you.
Our transmitter is at 4 Times Square, which is partially solar-powered, and the solar panels were installed by someone who is a friend and past guest of Ecologic. That guest, Anthony Pereira, was part of the panel on our premium Solar in the City, which is part of a 3-DVD set available for a $90 donation. We played part of that premium on last week's special second hour. It's in the archives.
Ecologic has been on WBAI for more than 20 years, so we have covered lots of environmental topics, and some of our most popular past shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts to our donors. We have a selection of more than 25 items from which you can choose on the website ecologic.wbai.org. Figure your budget, your interest, and how much you appreciate WBAI and Ecologic. Can you find just $10 a month to be a sustaining BAI buddy? That helps the station budget its expenses, but any donation to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is truly appreciated.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. The mailing address is WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
Joining us today is Paula Rogovin of the Coalition to Ban Unsafe Oil Trains. Longtime listeners will remember her prior visits with us. Welcome, Paula.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you for getting up early to join us today.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and the coalition.
Okay. I'm a retired New York City public school teacher. I live in Teaneck, New Jersey, right near the rail tracks, the CSX rail tracks that go all through the country and through 11 towns here in Bergen County and then on to bigger cities in New Jersey. We formed our coalition to ban unsafe oil trains in 2014. That was a year after the tragic derailment of trains carrying Baffin crude oil in Lumagantic, Quebec. It was such a horrendous situation. There were 47 children, women, and men killed in that derailment. The city of Lumagantic has still not recovered. The downtown area is still not completely rebuilt. We formed our coalition. We didn't realize that we were not just next to a train track, but we were next to something really, really dangerous. And so we sprang into action.
Well, I'm glad you guys exist. Yeah. The derailment in East Palatine, Ohio, is in the news. Not just WBAI, but mainstream news. But mainstream media, of course, only talks about it for like a couple minutes. Tell us what happened.
Well, there was a very, very long train carrying with some of the cars carrying hazardous materials. And they're not sure exactly what happened, but there was a fire that started before the train even entered into East Palestine. Now, the problem is that the rail companies are in charge of the rail lines. Not the government, not the people. The rail companies, with their lobbying over the centuries, have been in charge of the rail lines. And so the train under Trump, some of the regulations were cut back. Things like the electronically controlled pneumatic brakes. That regulation, which is really important, it was a way of stopping all the train cars at the same time, not the old 1868 technology where the first car stops, the next car, the next car, the next car, and then the cars at the back, if they're heavier, crash into the earlier cars. That's what happened in East Palestine. The old technology was in operation because of the rollbacks under Trump. And also, they have not been reinstated under Biden. The other thing is that the materials, the hazardous materials in the train in East Palestine, the certification, the level of classification of some of the hazardous materials was reduced under pressure from the lobbyists, from the rail companies. So that the safety precautions that should have been in place were not in place. The regulations were weakened. I just want to give you a quick example of something that happened when we were fighting here in New Jersey to get an oil train safety bill. I'll tell you more about it later, but we couldn't get it passed since 2014. We have not been able to get it passed. Back during the Christie administration, there was somebody from the CSX named Skip Elliott, and he was lobbying very hard to get our oil train safety bill rejected. Guess what happened to him under Trump? He became the head of the PHMSA that was regulating the trains. Okay, so we're dealing, and the people of East Palestine, tragically, are dealing with regulations that have been rolled back, and the amount of inspections is rolled back, the maintenance rolled back, the train company, rail companies are trying to reduce the crew size. It's a horrible situation, and I'm so glad it has become a national story because there are millions of people who live alongside these rail tracks carrying hazardous materials. Those trains were carrying vinyl chloride, among other things. That is something that's used for making plastic. It's extraordinarily dangerous. When it burns, it creates a dioxin. And you've heard the word dioxin when you heard Agent Orange, right? Listeners have heard that word. That's what's in Agent Orange also. And, you know, the damage to people's health, to damage to the land, to people's health, to animals, is not just immediate, but it could be decades later. We're seeing that with people in Vietnam. We're seeing it with the U.S. Troops who served in Vietnam, that the damage, the health impacts of that dioxin are for generations. So that's what's happened. Now, in East Palestine, you know, they were saying on the news that we don't know what's in the rail cars. We don't know what's in the rail cars. Well, how can you fight something? How can the first responders fight something if they don't even know what's in the car? This was going on for days after this derailment. This is something we've tried to address in our legislation here in New Jersey, and we can't get that into the legislation in all these years. The right for the transparency, the right for the public to know what is in those train cars. You can't fight it if you don't know what's in it. You don't.
Is that bill still in the Trenton legislature?
It has been reintroduced. We're going to be trying to the part about transparency was removed in an effort to get the cleanup part of it passed. That holding the rail corp company responsible for the cleanup. We couldn't get the transparency part passed. We are going to be putting it back into the legislation because it has to be there. The people must know. The first responders must be aware of what's going through our towns.
Especially the first responders. If they don't know what's in the disaster they're going to, they don't know how to prepare and what to bring to fight it, right?
Exactly.
Wow.
One of the other issues is crew size. And, we've met with a representative from Railroad Workers United, and they've been fighting so hard to try to maintain a larger crew size because the rail companies want to reduce it to one crew member for a train that could be hundreds of cars long.
The other issue on that front is that the people who are watching from the back office are also cut. So instead of having, X number of cars, they have five times the number of train cars to watch.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
It's that much harder to actually see something happening. Apparently, this started about 20 miles away and nobody noticed.
There's cameras everywhere, and a lot of people have cameras at their front door, and one of those cameras saw the problem with the axle 20 miles before the derailment. And if there had been a bigger crew on that train, they would have known about it too, but the crew's been cut back. What do we do about this?
So you have the crew size, and then you have this horrible situation where the train's no longer, because vinyl chloride wasn't classified as the highest level, hazardous material.
Yeah.
The precautions for a train like that were very limited, and the train did not have the electronic controlled pneumatic brakes. So
trains are getting larger and longer and heavier.
Yeah.
And that also adds to the problem.
Now, you can see this in the trains that are going through here. I live in Teaneck, New Jersey, and I just walk a block, and, I can see the train going as far as I can see. These trains are long, and they go through town after town, through cities. And so when you have, East Palestine has a population, I think, 5,000 people, but imagine how much worse it can be in trains with thousands and thousands of people, or a city like Newark, or other cities along the way. It's terrifying. So we've got to take action.
Yeah. We're also hearing reports of 3,500 fish dead. Pollution heading toward the Ohio River, and some are saying, the Ohio's big, it'll dilute. But we all know dilution is not the solution to pollution. It affects you, and we all have our own individual immune responses and our own, whatever pollution we've already got in our bodies. So,
Well, and also, Shelley, it's not even just how it's going to affect people immediately. I mean, there are people in the area. There are animals that have died. There are people with sore throats and headaches and other health issues. But this is something that will linger for decades.
We're getting really. Feeling hopeless here. What can we do about this? There's got to be something we can do, right?
Okay, so that's that's what we did when we, you know, when we were so upset about the tragedy in Lumagantic. First of all, we demonstrated right away, you know, the very every year we demonstrate to call attention to these issues, the safety issues. We call attention, of course, to the fact that these fossil fuels should be in the ground instead of being transported for use in our society. But immediately, if people want to take action, and this is something you can do that's very easy, to strengthen the rail regulations, to protect our communities, to demand that Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg reinstate the rules on the braking system, strengthen the regulations on the transport of hazardous materials by rail. If you have your phone out, or if you don't have it out, get your phone out. You can send him a message. Text, bomb.
This is that's a national issue then.
It's a national issue. It's a national text that people are doing.
So everybody listening, whether you're in Texas, California, Montana, New Jersey, New York, contact your senator and your representative and tell them to put back those regulations.
Okay, but you can do it in you can do it right now, this early in the morning, by texting the phrase bomb train. We call it bomb trains because when back in crude oil, the material that exploded in Lumagantic and explodes like a bomb. So text bomb train, B-O-M-B, train, two words, to the number 23321. Bomb train, 23321. Once you do that, you'll get a text with a link to a petition. Click on that link. Click it a few times. Make sure you have that link so that you can send a message. I did it yesterday. I got a letter right back from the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg. This is really important that you do this. So it's bomb train number 23321. Another thing that's being done is Rail Workers United, which is a progressive union of rail workers. They're calling for public ownership of the railroads. That's a very important thing that's going to be talked about in the next period of time. You can go to our coalition is just in New Jersey, but you could go to Coalition to Ban Unsafe Oil Trains at gmail.com. And
we link to the organization on our website, ecoradio.org.
Yeah.
So you can find the organization that way.
Yeah. The other thing that is really, really important to do, and Ken, you mentioned, is to, you know, call your legislators and tell them to, to press for legislation. When the Trump administration lifted a lot of eliminated a lot of the regulations, it's not a simple thing just to put regulations back in. So, you know, it's going to take a long and hard effort for us to get some of those regulations back. But there are things that that Biden and the transportation secretary can do right away. And so if people do that text, get that text taken care of. And, stay involved locally. If you live along the track, for example, here in Bergen County, we heard that one of the bridges, a little bridge, these trains go over a little bridge on our reservoir, the Oradell Reservoir that serves 800,000 people. The bridge needed to be repaired, and nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. So we wrote and we called and we contacted our legislators and we demonstrated and we marched and we did it over and over and over again, and we finally got that bridge repaired. We don't want the train going over our reservoir at all, but first step, we got the bridge repaired. So, you know, if you're in an area and you see that the rail bridge is in bad repair, if you see that the rail tracks seem like they're, you know, you see anything that you can report it. You know, work with your town to get them to pay attention to the trains going through. For example, in Bergen County, we checked, and people in those towns were checking the crossing, the rail crossing. They were in horrendous condition. And we had to fuss and fight to get those repairs made. Yeah.
And if you get your town legislators on your side, they'll tell the county, and, you know, the county listens to them more than they listen to us, and the state listens to the county, and on up the chain. But now we'd like to hear from our listeners. So please call in with your questions or comments at 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877.
And I love talking about victories because the issue seems so big. Yeah, you know, with the railroad companies controlling the government, or so it seems. And I'm glad you mentioned a few victories. I guess it takes being tenacious, and Paul Liberal government is nothing if not tenacious. And you can win this because every time you speak out, they realize, oh, that's a vote. I need to make sure I don't lose that vote and that it goes to the other guy. And so making your voice heard, it so often helps out. It's kind of neat that way sometimes. Yeah. It shouldn't be necessary, right? This is – public safety should be a no-brainer, but apparently a lot of no-brainers are no-brains.
And they also realize that, you know, for every person that speaks out, there's a bunch of people who are interested but haven't bothered. So – The more they hear a lot of people, the more they realize that it's a big issue. And looking at even the mainstream coverage of this issue, people are paying attention. I think most of us have seen that picture of that ridiculously large black mushroom cloud over that town. And that was from the controlled burn that you know, within days they decided, yeah, we need the railroad back. We're going to drain these things and burn it off. So it doesn't spread shrapnel, maybe, or maybe because, you know, the trains must go through. Yeah.
Well, we do have people calling in.
Oh, good.
It's 212-209-2877, and you are on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, yeah. They've been found in the rock that's washing up on the shores now, and they're trying to say that it's from the wind turbines. Do you have anything on that?
I would really like to stick with this topic. I have certainly talked about wind turbines a ton of times on other episodes, but I would really like to stick to what Paula is an expert in.
But okay. We will bring a report on that next week. I've seen some conflicting information on that, so we'll find out.
Okay.
What we can.
Anyway, we have another caller. You're on the air, 212-209-2877. You're on.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
This is Joel Kupferman.
Hey.
Hi, Joel.
Our favorite environmental lawyer.
Thank you very much. If everyone remembers, we were there, the ones that gathered the samples in front of the World Trade Center and had it tested, and we went through weeks and months of EPA in New York City telling us that it was safe. So this train wreck is a revisiting.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
It's a tragedy, though, Joel, because they're letting people back into their homes before any testing has been done, before any cleanup has really a thorough cleanup. And can there be a thorough cleanup? So this is a very tragic situation, as you know, as you're well aware. Yeah. It's important that people be aware of this fact that they don't allow the people in charge of a derailment area that they don't just let people back in. We have to be aware.
We have two more callers, but Joel, is the Environmental Law and Justice Project that you're in? What are they doing on this?
We're probably gathering the facts. We're going to be working on the laws. We're doing a survey of the laws across the country. As Paula pointed out, there is a lot of state regulations. We're reconnecting with all the firefighters and the first responders and those unions. We're doing as much legal research, and we want to reconnect with Paula to offer legal backup on this. And also we have to really look. Go ahead.
Just for listeners, a lot of the most of the regulations are federal. There's not as much that a state can do. So if we're trying to get state regulations, it's really important that we work together so that we can help each other learn what is possible with state regulation and what is federal.
I agree. But also part of the political strength that we've been pushing for is that coalition between first responders and the environmental movement. The first responders are the ones on the front line, and that's
absolutely
where some of that political power is also. I think it's really important to point out that it's not just we don't know what's on that train. We don't know what's going on in demolitions and construction sites and everywhere else. The city and the states have just let all those right-to-know laws lapse, and there's very, very little enforcement. So I think this should also be a call to arms or anti-arms that we really look at, you know, from the local all the way up, that we want to know what we're breathing at the demolition site next door to us.
I have heard you say we have the laws, we don't have the enforcement, and it's almost a mantra. And I think back to the Cuyahoga River fire in Cleveland, Ohio, that kind of really got people who were, we don't want to talk about the environment, we just want to talk about the Vietnam War. All of a sudden, everybody's talking about the environment, if a river can catch fire. And I think we might be having that kind of a moment right now because of this train derailment. And it's going to be interesting as things go on. And certainly Ecologic will be covering this issue as it goes along. And Joel, give us a website so people can contact you.
www.nyenvirolaw.org.
Repeat that.
And we'll be doing workshops on right to know from the federal to the local. And we have national lawyers, co-chair of the National Lawyers Guild Environmental Committee, and we have law students beginning to work on this in Ohio.
So nyenvirolaw.org.
Org.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for calling, Joel. We have other phone call people. This is really resonating with people. 212-209-2877 is this number, and you are on the line.
Hi, it's Russ.
Hi.
Hi.
Right. You know, I think it's important. You said that huge cloud and the explosion, the visual effect was what really threw this into the mainstream. And it's getting a lot of attention on the mainstream press. I'd like to ask your guest how many of these derailments occur with fires, because I think it's quite frequent. And, you know, I hate to sound like Don Lemon, but I Googled this ECP thing, and it said that the Obama regulations on the ECP brakes wouldn't even apply to this train. Wouldn't have been affected by the brakes. It was, as you said, it was the axle. I heard you say that real quick, and they don't talk about the braking of the axle. It was a metallurgical problem. Unless they x-rayed every axle, how could this have been avoided? And the question I want to ask your guest, which is a kind of provocative, is what would you say to the indigenous people who complain about supernatural violations with the pipelines, oil pipelines, if you compare them to the actual physical injuries that are caused by these oil train problems? And, you know, one thing that turns me off is when you use Trump and tie him to everything as a whipping post, okay? Obama watered down those regulations. It wouldn't have applied to this train. So thanks a lot. Bye.
Well, we one of the things that has happened is that they've reduced the time for inspections, the amount of inspections on the tracks and the trains. So you have that is a very, very big problem. The rail companies want to put as little money into that kind of thing as possible. And they're making huge profits, billions and billions in profits, but they're not putting it into maintaining the tracks. So we don't know exactly. No one knows exactly yet what happened with this particular derailment. But there are derailments all over the country all the time. They don't all end up in this kind of a tragic situation. But this is happening all the time because the rail companies have been allowed to reduce the amount of maintenance. So in terms of transport by rail of these fossil fuels and these awful hazardous chemicals by rail or by pipeline or by barge, in North Jersey, we've been fighting all three. We've been fighting against the pipelines. In fact, we had a demonstration a couple summers ago where we started out where they were trying to build the Pilgrim pipeline. That got defeated. We had a rally there, which was led by indigenous leaders. Then we went over to the Oradell Reservoir where the trains come through, the oil trains. And then we went over to St. Peter's University above the Hudson River and looked down at the barges on the river. And because we were protesting all three, and we have to.
Paula, give everybody some contact information so that people can get involved.
Coalition to Ban Unsafe Oil Trains at gmail.com, or our Facebook is Coalition to Ban Unsafe Oil Trains. In fact, Joel was saying a couple of callers ago before was mentioning about working with first responders. We have been working with Work Environment Council, and they have been reaching out all along to the firefighters, the different firefighter unions here in New Jersey. It's very important that we work closely with the first responders. Also, your town might have, our town of Teaneck, we pressed them to do this several years ago, instructions for residents what to do. And if there is a derailment, you got to keep pressing that there are instructions for residents and that there's training, ongoing training for first responders and how to deal with specific materials.
Well, it's time to wrap up, so thanks for joining us this morning. We're glad to have you with us for Ecologic at 6 a.m., live or on the archives. Join us next week when we talk with land management specialist Mark Latour about ways to preserve and take care of land and water. For more information, go to our website, ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org.
And thank you, Paula Rogovin, for all that information. And there is so much that we need to know. And we'd love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. It's right there near the top of the page. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter eco-logic.
Our website has information on a variety of environmental topics. Go to www.ecoradio.org.
To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums. Most can be found both on ecologic.wbai.org and on give2wbai.org. To become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy, call 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic BAI buddy pledges. Most of the WBAI staff, including us, are volunteers. WBAI is community radio, and there are lots of ways to get involved. And, of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen, the engineers, electricity, equipment upkeep. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
Our thanks to our engineer today, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Gellert. Join us again next week for Ecologic at 6 a.m. on Saturday, February 25th, to hear about ways to preserve and take care of land and water.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So
David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to you stopping by.
I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
This is Bob Law with what I think is an important announcement. I will be on the air for an additional hour, now from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. A little more time, a lot more ideas and information. So join me on Saturday morning from now on for 2 hours, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here at 99.5 FM WBAI New York.
This is Ralph Nader. You can now listen to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour on Saturday afternoon at 5 p.m. It'll be one of the least forgettable radio programs in your experience because we touch on subjects not covered by the mainstream media, the public media, and often the independent media. You can listen to this program on listener-sponsored WBAI at 99.5 FM. We're broadcast and streamed at WBAI.org.
It ain't gonna happen until folks like you and me just stand up. Well, you've been sitting way too long.
Oh, step up.
You know what's right and you know what's wrong.
Rise up.
Don't let the system hold you down.
Mother, this radio hasn't been working very well the past few days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
All mixed up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoon here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
You!
I'm sorry?
On your feet, black boy, now on your
feet.
Excuse me.
No, 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 you don't. Hands where I can see them, fingers apart in the...
In Jim Crow, Alabama of 1962, there's a dead white man who's discovered, and the local police arrest a black stranger named Virgil Tibbs.
What is it you do, boy?
I'm a police officer.
I hope you don't expect me to believe that.
Then the detective finds himself in the middle of a murder case in John Ball's In the Heat of the Night, adapted by Matt Pelfrey.
Judging by the stubble on his chin, I'd guess he'd been up all night. If he'd gone home to change his shoes, he'd probably shave.
So f***ing what? Maybe he didn't. I didn't shave last night.
But we know he does so regularly.